passion, peace, and productivity with friends. The Walker AC Experience, Out of Context Podcast, and many more shows are here on the Walker AC Experience Podcast channel. Starting in February of 2018, the experience has been a staple amongst the many millions of podcasts out there and still going strong to this day. Take the adventure with us and subscribe, follow, share, comment, and support the experience. Bookmark WalkerAC76.podbean.com and www.walkeracexperience.com/mobile. Want to pick up and rock some merchandise? Go to www.cafepress.com/WACE and pick up everything from Walker AC Experience hoodies, shirts, and tees. And even special items such as bedroom blankets, clothes for your little ones, pets, stationery, magnets, and so much more. We thank you for your continued support and keep the experience thriving.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the Walker AC Experience for the month of April. Matter of fact, April 15th. We're going to call our shot and say April 15th because that's when this is going to be released. I am your host, Walker AC, and to you, my friends, yes, you're still my friends, even though we've been gone for another week. I mean, absence makes the heart grow fonder, and how can we miss you if you don't go away? We're back again, folks. And of course, be sure to log on to every podcaster's favorite website, walkeracexperience.com/mobile. And of course, walkerac76.podbean.com, walkerac76.podbean.com. Also, rock our merchandise, people. We're still here. We're still doing our thing. As the world turns, we are here. cafepress.com/WACE. We're everywhere. We're on TikTok, we're on Spotify, we're on Pandora, we're on Google Podcast, and of course, we're here for you. And like as always, I can't do this show by myself like I used to. I'm not that creative anymore. I don't have that many great ideas. So I have to lean on my co-host, my friend, my personal bodyguard. He will kick your ass, folks, and he'll smile all the way doing it. Kevin, you, everybody. Kevin, how's it going, sir?
Happy pre-birthday to both of us.
You're going to let the cat out of the bag already, aren't you? I mean, you're not going to wait. You're just going to just let it fly, huh?
Yeah, of course, man. Birthdays are most important days, except for Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't believe in it, I think.
Send all your hate mail to the Walker AC Experience, care of Kevin Yu.
Just saying. If you guys don't like birthdays, I'm not going to, you know, throw a spite birthday party.
No, not at all. So, go ahead, let the cat out of the bag. Our birthday week. Our birthday week, birthday weekend, birthday, go ahead. No, go ahead, let it out, Kevin.
That's right. Next week is both our birthdays. Send all your presents to our email.
Yes, 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 yes. Now, I mean, Kevin, I mean, do you have anything on your wish list? I mean, Amazon wish list or, you know, people want to get you?
My favorite thing is for people to arrange things for me because I hate event coordinating.
Well, I mean, you know, as we get older, our birthday list gets shorter. So I'm really trying to think, do I want anything for my birthday aside from peace, love, goodwill for all, man? No, I think I want a day of sleep. I think that's really what I want for my day of sleep. And I mean, should we even go even further and tell the audience how old we are, or should we just leave that alone? I mean, we should keep that a myth.
I think we should turn it into a weird, like, gambling pool thing. And like almost like a Powerball thing where people have to try to pull numbers and be like, is this it? Like, oh, so close.
Exactly. I mean, if they look at us, I mean, they can guess our age. And, you know, the good part about that is we're not on Twitch yet, so they can't see our face. All they can do is guess from our voices. So, I mean, we can just assume that they're not going to get it right, but it's okay. I'm going to answer the question for us. I mean, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, Kevin. I'm sorry. I have to tell all of our listeners how old we really are.
The other cat, too?
The other cat, Kevin. The other cat. Now, for everyone who's out there who know who we are, we have to be honest. Kevin is 22. I'm 21. So, I mean, we can buy our first drink, smoke our first cigarette, and we can do, as the kids would say, we can do the weed. So I think we're ready and able for this.
Maybe after November, everybody go vote in Florida.
Yeah, that too. But so, as we get started with this show, how has life been treating you, sir?
It's been disturbingly relatively calm. Makes me uneasy. You know, it's like, this is the part of the scary movie when something bad is going to happen.
Yeah, we always have that feeling at our young age, Kevin. When things go right, we have to look around and go, okay, something's about to go wrong now. Anytime, I'm waiting. Bring it on. And we just brace for the impact. But I think the past couple weeks have been pretty smooth. I mean, don't you think?
I know, but like sometimes I wonder if I should just sabotage myself just to like be like, haha, I beat you to the punch, universe. You know, to like spill coffee on myself first thing in the morning just to get it over with.
Hey, you just cut out the middleman and you just go right for it. It's okay. I can honestly say life is going pretty tremendous, fairly tremendous with the experience, with life itself. Now, I know people, we were gone last week. I were gone the week before. We came back with a nice 1-2 punch. I mean, one show, the Out of Context podcast, one day, and then not even a couple days later, the experience. Now, these old bones need to rest here and there. But once again, we're back. We're ready to install wisdom into all of you. See, I did that on purpose, you know, to kind of balance out the self-deprecating humor. But we are legends, Kevin. So, this week... This week, what you got on tap for us?
Well, I'd like to talk about the 90s. For I feel that some people kind of glamorize the 90s without having a true insight to what it was at the time and how it, you know, only the mainstream version of a certain type of group gets to represent the 90s.
Uh-oh, one second. I think we lost you there. Are you still there, Kevin? Uh-oh, I think we lost him. So as Kevin comes back to us, let us know. Now, he was talking about the 90s. Now, I know you millennials out there are going, oh, the old stuff. No, 90s actually was a pretty good time when it comes to music. But hold on. I think we have back on air. I think Kevin's back. Are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Anytime something bad happens, I blame the deep state.
But see, the good thing is it came to fruition. Something bad happened. We lost you there for a second. So the universe, had to kick you. So there we go.
Oh,
but
good.
But as you were saying, let's go back to what you were saying.
Yeah, and the 90s were also worse than people had imagined too. They both were good and terrible at the same time. Like, it all kind of made me think because... of how 90s fashion came back, and I'm like, this isn't how we used to dress. Nice try, everybody. It's like, we don't have pants. You're not wearing pants so big you can hide, like, pipe bombs in them. You know, you're not wearing bowling shirts or chain wallets or big dog shirts. You know, it's like, or like, you know, Abercrombie & Fitch, or, you know, wearing a long sleeve shirt under a short sleeve shirt. Come on, guys. Or a visor. You know, nobody knows what they're doing right now.
I feel personally attacked.
I want to wear a visor.
But if you think about how the 90s were back then, and I know once again the 2000s and all that fun stuff, people are focusing on that. The actual style of clothes was the most important. Because as the 2000s went on, style became less and less important. You know, because it was all about being an individual. Now it is, but being an individual, we can't judge anyone's clothing. We can't shame anyone's clothing. Because if you think about
it, we can.
Well, we can, but it's kind of heavily frowned upon in this generation.
May I remind you of you and Jeff's criticisms of Crocs?
We're not going to talk about that. No, we're not going to talk about that, Kevin. We're talking about the 90s stuff. But
because lambasting my Crocs, conveniently leaving it out.
But as I was saying, no, the '90s had their own particular style, and back then, you really couldn't be too judgmental because everyone had their own style. Everyone had to have those pair of shoes, those pair of Jordans and Nikes, those particular brand of T-shirts, particular brand of pants, stuff like that. Of course, once again, nowadays you can dress in a plastic bag and nobody can say anything because we don't want to hurt anybody's feelings or we don't want to shame them. I digress.
But like, we were such jerks to each other. We were just horrible to each other. It's like I would... If I see somebody walking down the street with like insane clown posse makeup going on, I'm like, well, better cross the street right now. I'm just gonna cross this 4-lane highway.
Well, but it was what it was back then. They had shame back then. You know, we were allowed to shame everybody for, you know, for their fashion choice, for their eating choice, for what they listened to. It was just a part of the culture. It just was what it was until the new era came in to where shaming was a bad thing. Now,
shaming is a bad thing. People were such jerks to each other. It was horrible. Calling each other the F word all day long. It's like, or how about this? Here's a good exchange that you'll hear from the 90s. You're gay. No, you're gay. Oh boy.
Or see, we did
that kind of conversation. Yeah.
Or we did the "you're so retarded," or "that's retarded." Yeah. It was now. Once again, I'm not going to say that shaming 100% of the time was a positive thing. No. I'm not going to do that, Kevin. I'm not going to pigeonhole myself in that. I'm saying certain parts of shaming did work. Certain parts of shaming did help. And I know you're going to go, "What the hell are you talking about?" Well, I'm going to tip on health for a second.
Uh-huh.
You know, because we're going to stick with the 90s, but I'm going to just dip my piggies in the 2000s and beyond. Because, you know, you talk about body positivity. And, you know, very healthy, weighted Americans, now it's acceptable. Versus back then, when you were heavy and being unhealthy, someone would say, "Hey, slow down. Hey, I don't think you should really eat that much." Or, "Hey, watch your health. I'm looking out for your health. You shouldn't really eat that," or, you know, stuff like that. That was taken as shame. You're shaming me for telling me not to eat something that's bad for me, that's going to kill me. No, we're actually shaming you by saying, "Hey, please don't do that because we want you to live longer. We don't want you to die of the diabetes, and we don't want you to lose a foot or anything else like that. Put the fork down, slow down, join PE, you know, let's worry about your health more." But now that's being misconstrued as shaming. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying all shaming was good. But just moderation, folks, moderation. But please, Kevin, go ahead.
Sure. Well, I also want to explore that because I don't see how mean we were to each other in the 90s, how overtly mean. Like, for example, movies such as what was that one? Something Hal.
Where, oh, Shallow Hal.
Shallow Hal, which, you know, is intended to, you know, to be about, you know, look, you know, seeing beyond physical beauty when truly it wasn't. Or how, you know, people did make fun of bigger people. And also we have a better understanding of food and eating. For example, you know, there's literally a billion-dollar industry out there making you want to eat crap. There are food deserts all over America. It is cheaper to eat crap than real food. We've understood eating disorders more, that some people have thyroid diseases or they have a complex psychological relationship with food. And so I would like to present this idea that shaming really didn't move the needle much, and I don't think it really helped people change for the better when the problem may be more than just willpower. It is a societal problem and may also have other factors as well.
And that I can agree with. And on the other hand, you look at people's health. You look at a loved one's health. Just for example, a loved one's health. You see that loved one spiraling due to whatever, whatever reason they have when it comes to food. Their connection with food, or they use their food as a crutch, or they use the food as a traumatic response. Editing, folks, editing. So, yes, you know, shaming or suggesting, you know, say, hey, you know, less calorie intake, calorie in, calorie out, anything of the sort. So when it comes to that, and I mean, you know, you can actually tell somebody, hey, slow down. Hey, you know, let's work on your physical appearance more. It's not necessarily shaming by calling them fat or shaming by saying, hey, put the fork down. It's a matter of health. It's a matter of I care more about your health than anything else. So people will take it in this generation as shaming. Oh, you're telling me I can't eat this? Oh, you're making fun of my weight? No, I'm telling you, you know, you're big and I care about you. You're big, slow down. You're big, instead of eating this, how about you eat this? Because I love you and I care about you. I want to see you live longer. You know, and yes, there are, now hold on for a second. We're talking about, what you're talking about previously is a small minority of, it could be a thyroid, it could be a medical issue, it could be a traumatic experience. Those are typically the minority. We're talking about the vast majority of people, you know, who have this relationship with food. And it would take someone from the outside, someone that cares about you, or even a total stranger, to go, hey, instead of this, how about this? Instead of you eat this, how about this? Because once again, we're looking at the longevity of life when it comes to people. We're looking at calories in versus calories out. We're looking at accountability when it comes to, you know, to people make their own personal choices of what they put into their bodies. So me personally, I don't like to hear someone lean on something as an excuse. I can't lose weight because I have an eating disorder. I can't lose weight because this food is more inexpensive than vegetables or the farmer's market. Or I can't lose weight because I'm too tired. Just things like that, I just see as an excuse. So when I use the word shame, nowadays it is shame. When you tell someone, you know, hey, slow it down. Calories in, calories out. Let's go for a walk. How about you eat less? You know, just things of that nature. I'm talking about the vast general public instead of the small minority of a thyroid or a medical condition or, you know, something mental, something biological.
Well, if we're going to talk about the macro aspect of it all, then again, like I just said, a $1 billion industry to have McDonald's placed everywhere, to have a Starbucks next to another Starbucks, to have just bad food choices everywhere, to have highly processed, over-processed food here, people pushing the label organic when it really doesn't mean anything anymore, all the misinformation when it comes with food, all the convenience of it all, and again, food deserts. To take it to a macro, macro view, America's, I would dare say, still the most obese country in the world. So what did that say about the American willpower if we are just saying it is all a choice and accountability, when there's bigger factors at play, when Monsanto is the, you know, can control food, when, you know, even access to clean water is not available in some areas, and if you're, you know, your budget, you know, are you going to spend $20 on a quinoa salad or $20 on, you know, a junk food dinner that could feed your whole family? There is some accountability, but sometimes the ratio of X factors that negatively impact your health may be greater than choices. Even education, when people say calories in and calories out, they don't even know what a calorie is. Ask the common person, what's a calorie? Or they don't know about macronutrients or micronutrients. You know, like a 2,000 calorie fried dough is still 2,000 calories, just like, you know, a 2,000 calorie, like, you know, finely made salmon and shrimp dinner. So there's a lot to it.
Yes, there is a lot to it. And there's one thing, there's one word that stuck out when you're speaking. And again, it's choice. It's choices. Yes, obviously, the farmer's market products are way more expensive than a McDonald's meal. It's so much easier to go to McDonald's and get a meal for your family or KFC versus sitting down, counting calories, making sure you have asparagus, making sure you have cauliflower, making sure you have something healthy to go inside your body. And it's all about choice. No matter what reasoning that the American people have, because we are the most obese country, it all boils down to choices. It all boils down to, yes, we don't know what a calorie is. A majority of us don't know what a calorie is. A majority of us do not know how many calories that we need to put inside our bodies to maintain a proper weight. Of course, education is key when it comes to that. But push the education aside and you look at common sense. You look at critical thinking. You know what your body can do. Step aside about being a parent, just being a regular adult. You, for example, Kevin, you know what your body can take to maintain its weight. You know what foods you can put in your body to gain weight. So it's up to you to use your critical thinking, your common sense, to understand that if I eat two Big Macs and I eat a double large fry and a humongous Coke, and I sit down and I don't do anything, I'm going to gain weight. If I understand what my body can take by taking a certain amount of calories and I expel those calories out during exercise, I know that my body is going to be fit. So everything that's mentioned in my belief system is just more of an excuse. If healthy food is expensive, McDonald's is cheaper. That's an excuse because once again, you know what your body can take. You know what your body needs. Well, it's the education system. Understandable, but once again, you know your own body, what you can put in, what you can put out. It really doesn't take a genius to know if I eat A, B, and C, and D, I know the adverse effect it's going to have on my body versus going for a walk, hopping on a treadmill, doing push-ups inside your home, eating less, eating small meals per day instead of two big meals or one big meal and stuff like that. You know, we have to give ourselves more accountability. We have to hold ourselves more accountable when it comes to what we put into our bodies instead of looking at the excuses. Because the excuses is what keeps us obese. It's what keeps us unhealthy. It what keeps us just pretty much aloof to everything that's out there. Because, and I'll wrap it up here, if you look at other countries that have a better health system than us, they have a better understanding about food. They have McDonald's over in Germany. They have McDonald's over in Japan. They have McDonald's over in, you know, in other countries as well. But they have the general understanding that they know that in moderation, everything is okay. Health and fitness is something that's critical to their health. They don't rely heavily on excuses and surgeries and stuff like that, you know, to maintain their health.
The thing is that, you know, you can't just say to push aside education and use common sense. Common sense is usually neither common nor sensical. Is usually just cultural biases. And education is the key. Critical thinking usually doesn't come without education. And that's us as a society, we have failed to educate each other about it. We cut funding for health and nutrition and fitness classes. It's a shame. It's a shame that, for example, the supplement market in America is not regulated by the FDA. And I don't think the average person may not know that. Or to be educated that, like, our food is so highly addictive with sugar that sugar reacts in your brain just like cocaine, and it's highly addictive, and we keep pumping it more into it, more than, because it's a negative feedback loop. The consumer wants it, so the industry makes it, and the industry makes it because the consumer wants it. And so there's a lot of education that's not available to the average person, and misinformation too, like how much water you should be drinking, the myths about caffeine, and it also may be specious to state that other countries have are more educated in this manner. They may not. They may actually have just societies that are built that get more towards health. Think about how many people in some countries walk more or physically more active because it's more available, because it's safer, they have the facilities, and they don't make you drive everywhere. Like here. Like in where we live in Florida, you gotta drive everywhere to get anything done. There's no place that's walkable or you think about how, or just being able to join a gym at a reasonable cost, how people spend their days. Americans are notorious for working themselves to death, whereas what people in Europe get a whole month off, like in August. So there's, I still maintain, it is more than just the individual choices. It is the impact of society that is around you, that is both seen and unseen.
And I can just counteract that point just by saying, and trust me, I'm agreeing with everything you're saying, and I understand with everything you're saying. It all boils down, when you just boil it down to the basics, it is all about choice. Because, you know, even if my education system versus yours, I can tell you, you are 50 times smarter than I am. I may be better looking, but you're more smarter than I am. And I accept that, Kevin. I accept that totally. But, yeah, but you know, you're in great physical health. For example, you're in great physical health. And it could be part and partial with your parents teaching you what to put in your body, what to not put in your body. But when you get to a certain age, you understand your body better than your parents do. You understand your body better than your doctors, even sometimes better than your doctor. You understand what can go into your body. You know, so in saying that, and of course, hopefully I'm not sounding three shades of retarded, 90s, you should know what goes into your body. You should have that self-awareness to go, okay, what I'm eating slows me down. What I'm eating gives me acid reflux, or what I'm eating, you know, has an adverse effect on my body, making my stomach bigger or my legs bigger or my neck bigger. You should have that understanding to know that I need to slow this down. Because, yes, common sense isn't so common, but you have to have the critical thinking, Kevin, to understand, how to slow down. Yes, some foods are addicting, just like smoking is addicting or drinking is addicting, but you have to have that inner strength inside of you to say no or to lessen it. I mean, it really has to be there.
Well, according to psychology, willpower is extremely valuable compared to habit making. I'm highly privileged. I'm very privileged that I have the resources and opportunities and the awareness to invest in my health and my knowledge about it. And also, joke's on you. Why do I have pretty high blood pressure? I don't know.
I have high blood pressure too, so there you go. Touche, Kevin, touche.
So what are we doing wrong? Again, I blame the deep state.
But to wrap up this part of the conversation, as we're straying away from the 90s, Kevin, you do this to me all the time. the wonderful thing is, you know, you and I can agree to disagree. You know, you and I both state really the truth. It is all about education. Not going to lie, Kevin, it's all about education. You're correct. It's all about upbringing. It's all about, you know, how people actually can show you and teach you what good things to put in your body versus the bad things. And when you get to that certain age as an adult, you make those choices yourself. And you have to live with those choices and the consequences of eating McDonald's, eating Burger King, eating all those horrible foods that you can put into your body versus counting calories, versus eating less, versus walking, versus working out in your apartment if you have nowhere to walk. There are so many other options that people sometimes, you know, choose not to take. And at the end of the day, hate that phrase, at the end of the day, it's all up to you as an individual to know, you know, what your body can take and what it can't take.
That's why I only do a little bit of cocaine.
Moderation, Kevin, moderation.
I also like to say moderation and moderation. Let's go ham. In moderation.
So as you go back to the 90s, Kevin, damn you, as you go back to the 90s, what were some good music back in the 90s that really set the tone for you?
I like a lot of the underground type of music. Like, some of the punk music was really cool. Of course, the hardcore, like, you know, East Coast, West Coast hip-hop. Even just some of the more esoteric stuff, some more of the EDM was really fun too. I mean, I still like hearing Darude. And it's just odd that, like, you know, people think of just grunge of the 90s. Like, that was one genre. There's a lot more to it, you know?
Yes.
How about you?
I am a huge 90s fan, and I am still stuck in the 90s when it comes to music. And I'll tell you why here in a sec. You know, so like the biggest hits of the 90s, I'm hopping on google.com. Anybody can do this. So like, say for example, the Education of Lauryn Hill, you know, the Fugees, mm-hmm. was a great one. Even stuff like, I don't know, the best songs that represents the 90s, people are going to have their own interpretation of it, whether it be, you know, Nirvana or Spice Girls or Dr. Dre, Ice Cube or Alanis Morissette or Biggie or Oasis or R.E.M. Those type of musics, wow, see? Education, Kevin, there we go. Those type of music sets the tone for generations beyond the 2000s, because whether it be the message, whether it be the group, whether it be just the catchy songs that you hear in your local grocery store now, those kind of music made an impact versus now I'm going to bury myself here. I'm going to have tons of hate mail versus the 2000 music. Because, yes, you do have a couple of things that stick out in 2023, 2024. But in my humble belief, most of the music, say, for example, rap music now, is more mumbling, really didn't catch with the beat, really didn't make any sense, or puts out the wrong message. Now, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say Smells Like Teen Spirit gave out a great message because the song didn't make any sense, or Beck, or Nothing But a G-Thang. But something about the music still can hold up to this day versus, I don't know, I'm trying to throw somebody out here. Let's say Sexy Red, for example. I'm not gonna throw any shade at Sexy Red because she makes money. But her music is, yeah, it's a lot about of the fornicating nature. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, what about, you know, I Want to Sex You Up? That was a 90s song.
Well, I mean, and about that song still holds because we can bring it
does
up.
It?
Hey, we can bring it up, and people who are 90s going to go, I remember that song. Now, granted, that song was about fornicating, yes, but in a very, very sensual way versus now other songs are like, hey, spread your legs and your butt cheeks. No, that's not very sexy. It's not very sensual.
Oh, I've got some songs for you. A fun 90s song for you to look up is Put in Your Mouth.
Well, yes, I do know that song. I'm not saying the majority of it, Kevin. I'm saying some of it here. Work with me.
Whoa, what about my neck and my back? Come on.
People are screaming at their phones right now going, I know that song too. Yes.
The genteel 90s.
But you have to admit, I mean, lest we forget, these songs that we're kind of poking fun at, they stuck with you for whatever reason, whether it be totally absurd music or music that actually meant something. Because think about it. You go to Publix, you go to Winn-Dixie, and you hear some 90s music. Some of it really doesn't make any sense, but it sticks with you. But anyhow, I digress. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I can't wait to go to Publix to hear the thong song. Just bought my bread. What's Cisco's things in the background?
Hey, I actually heard Notorious B.I.G. in the grocery store, and I had to look around going, really? Is this real? But yes.
Nice.
Well, yes. I mean, it's definitely some of the songs that defined the 90s. And so we're gonna have a little bit of fun with this one, Kevin. So give me some of your absurd 90s songs.
Let's see. Absurd 90s songs. Let's see. Of course, the Wu-Tang Clan. I'm a huge fan. I just felt that was like really grungy and almost like avant-garde with the way they were just has this really inventive imagery in their songs. Little lesser known like Black Star or Jurassic 5 were really great. or like something like Ozo Motley was really cool. Even some of the new metal, like a couple songs out there, like from like Slipknot or even Marilyn Manson, were pretty cool, you know, my opinion. But like, I also want to add that everybody enjoys the music from their developing years because they have an emotional connection to it. And I think as you get older, you have less experiences with less music to wrap around it to bring you that kind of memory. Like, something specific to me, I have a heart for some of the Chainsmokers songs because they were happened at special times in my life. Like, I had a great time in grad school, and so one song by the Chainsmokers means something to me because it brings me back to that time, you know, and I was an adult when that happened.
Okay. So I'll go for groups like White Stripes or groups like, hell, I'll even put out Green Day and Manson and Mazzy Star. And I'm in more of the more obscure groups, Folk Implosion, or even better, let's take it one deeper. Movie soundtracks were a tremendous thing for the 90s. The soundtrack of Kids, the soundtrack of Titanic, the soundtrack of Judgment Night. Just, it was much more music heavy at the time because you would listen to certain music, like you said, listen to certain music and bring back certain memory. I'm trying to think any music in the 2020s, for example, that will stick out. Whether it be maybe Pink, or whether it be Avril Lavigne, or whether it be Taylor Swift or something of the sort. I can only speak for 80s, 90s, 70s music because I'm that old guy. But I think 90s music was much more stronger because you had much more different types of bands to come out that really got your attention right off the bat. And they can always lean on an old favorite, Nirvana. When they came out, when they got bigger, let me correct myself, when they got bigger, they were such a heavy influence, it still holds true to this day.
Well, there's also great music now. Like, I really enjoy The Weeknd. He's really great with R&B, and I get picky with R&B, and he's wonderful. Or even, like, I really enjoy Ariana Grande. She's wonderful. Or even, like, Cardi B, you know. Always find a way to try to listen to WAP once in a while. You know, there's a lot of good stuff out there too. It's about just, you know, sometimes asking for recommendations. People bring you some really cool stuff out there, and I just don't want to just, you know, I want to be open to new things because there's just some wonderful stuff out there. And sometimes going backwards, like, I love funk, you know, thinking about Parliament, Funkadelic, or just like Freddie Jackson, you know, that music was way before my time, but it was just so fun.
Now see, all these musical things we're talking about, people, pause the show and look it up, trust me, you won't regret it. So we're gonna go a different slant. What was the worst part of the 90s for you?
Oh, I was about to go this direction with you too. I would say just how unrepentantly just mean people were to each other. 90s was an era of extreme. We were supposed to be snowboarding and drinking Mountain Dew and, you know, and being loud and obnoxious, trying to do your own version of Jackass. And just how just unrepentantly brass people were to each other. You know, you look at how wrestling was back then. It's like people, to bring them to wrestling, people are shocked at like the accusations being thrown at, you know, Vince McMahon. Look at how he behaved in the 90s. You will not be shocked after you see some clips. And it was just like kind of emblematic of just how horrible people were to each other. Or again, watch Trainwreck in a Netflix documentary about Woodstock 99. That was also very emblematic of the 90s.
And yes, with that, once again, I can definitely agree with you that. I look on the other side of the coin too, because yes, people were losing their damn minds for whatever reason of the sort. And yes, it was a very brutal time, a very brutal honesty kind of era versus the era that we're in now. Yes, some of us can say, most of us can say this era is much more different, much more kind, much more nice, because we don't want to hurt anyone's feelings now. And the older generation will go, oh my God, you guys are so soft. It's much more, you know, it's much more tiptoe around your feelings. Whereas the early generation of the 90s, we were just in your face, brash, you know, crass, like you said. And it was more brutally honest than anything. And I go back to the whole shame thing that is called nowadays. It was more just honesty that people will misconstrue it as being shame. Yeah, it was a jackass culture. It was just in your face. It was screw your feelings kind of a generation that we look at now in our age group. We're much more used to that than what it is now. My horrible part of the 90s, I'm trying to think what was a horrible part about it. I guess I'm going to, once again, you know, tattle on myself here, is just a fashion for me. Because not really being, I guess, not necessarily wealthy, but just well off enough to afford that fashion. Because then fashion is what made you. And if you didn't have that, going to the thrift store or going to Goodwill wasn't the norm. You had to have money to have the nice shoes, the nice haircut, the nice jacket, the nice shirt, which unfortunately I didn't have that, but it was what it was.
Well, a couple comments. I've heard it said that people who are brutally honest are more interested in being brutal than being honest. Also, I don't believe we are in a more sensitive time. All you gotta do is look at the corners of the internet where the FBI will track you to see how much people care about each other's feelings. Yeah, exactly. There's that one thing that happened January 6th, a little while back, that, you know, it was about people being sensitive. Yeah. And then also, let's see. I think people are just as ridiculously fashion conscious right now. Like, you still need $60,000 to buy a starter Birkin bag right now. Or, you know, you can spend a whole boatload of money on, like, new exclusive sneakers. You know, the Fresh Kicks, man.
I never had, never had Fresh Kicks, Kevin. Never had Fresh Kicks.
You never had Air Force Ones?
Never. Not in a million years. I saved my money for other things.
I guess, but I guess you're gonna make Nelly mad at you. Which I'd be like, good, I don't like Nelly.
Wow.
Well, that's my segue. All right, what music from the 90s is, like, terrible to you?
Oh, okay. Here we go, folks. Buckle up. I would say collaborations of soft music, soft R&B music, mixed in with hardcore rap music.
Ooh.
And I know, once again, people are be yelling at their phones right now, because I'm going to say an artist. I'm going to say Mary J. Blige. Mary J. Blige, for example, mixed in with, I don't know, a thug rapper. And she would sing something soft, and he would come in and try to sing it also, and it was horrible. And that fad, thank heaven, didn't last very long. You know, because you have your soft artists and your thug try to sing a love song, and it was horrible. So, I'm very grateful that didn't take off. That's one thing I really didn't like. So,
to support your point, look at anything that Ja Rule did, and here you go.
Thank you. That's the name. Thank you, Kevin. People are screaming, going, "No, you moron!" Yes, Ja Rule singing with someone soft. It was horrible. I could not stand it.
He deserves the failure of fire festival because of that.
It was that, and also teen pop music for the sake of teen pop. Manufactured poppy music just to get it out there. You know, you look at the pop music back then, the teens, the young adults singing their songs. I'm not going to call anybody out. But behind the curtain, they were the totally opposite. You know, troublemakers, drug heads, alcoholics, stuff like that. But they were presented as these teen heartthrobs. And it just really didn't work. And you know, as you look at some of their stories now, where they wound up now and what they did back then, you know, it was, once again, totally the opposite. It really didn't work. So the teen pop idols really didn't do it for me. I was more into the quote-unquote underground kind of music, music that wasn't really popular, but eventually caught on. What I mean by that is I'm going to throw Green Day into the mix again. They were a very underground band doing their thing, and then they blew up and got really big, and yeah, they were okay for what they were for their time. Not around anymore, not as much, but they definitely made an impact.
Interesting. Yeah, like, it was such a mixed bag. Like, I really didn't like kind of butt rock. I think I just have a negative association when you, if somebody plays like Matchbox 20 or like any band like that, like Nickelback, I'm like, I need to leave the room now. Just, I don't know why. I'm like, I can't deal with it. I don't know. I get really weird about music. Like, there are songs like that and, like, and some 80s song where, like, this is why I've also discussed with Jeff that we're very picky with who we go to karaoke with. If somebody's going to sing Journey, I'm going to take a very long dump, whether I need to or not, to save that song. Just say it's my weird music tidings.
It's okay. I definitely feel your pain. Anything with Nickelback, anything with Creed. It's okay, people. Come at me. I met Scott Staff at my job before. So yeah, come at me. Yes. Anything with Creed. Anything with that sound. And when I say that sound, my good people, you know what I talk about. Red arms wide open, you know, that kind of sound. Yeah, can't do that, people. Cannot do that. So there we go.
So, see, more proof that the 90s weren't all good.
Well, a majority of it was good.
I guess.
Looking at it through, looking at it through rose colored glasses. But that's what you were saying.
I guess you can forgive Mystical.
Oh, good Lord. And finally, to round out the 90s thing, and we'll skip on over to rants and something else, because once again, Kevin, you and I continue to go. The hour goes by really fast. Give me some of your 90s movies.
It is extremely cliche to say it, but The Matrix, the original Matrix, was a masterpiece. It was just so groundbreaking, and it's so great that it can be interpreted different ways. I personally think it's a really interesting, almost like Buddhist parable. That was an excellent movie. Terminator 2 was also incredible. One of the best sequels of any sequels that exists out there. James Cameron knocked it out of the park with that. Stuff like the original X-Men was really fun, or Spider-Man. The original Spider-Man was really great. Or just to be incredibly dumb again, Dumb and Dumber was a fantastic movie for his time. So yeah, those are the top movies I could just think of immediately. How about you?
Okay, I'll give you a few. So let's see if this rattles any memories. Let's go for the basics. Let's go for Forrest Gump. 1994. Mm-hmm. Tom Hanks was amazing. That movie set the standard, and it was a great, great movie. Go for Mission Impossible, 1996. Never was a big fan of the Mission Impossible series, but once again, they were huge. They were extremely huge. Mm-hmm. Home Alone, 1990. It was your basic Christmas movie, and whether people want to admit it or not, they still watch Home Alone. Or let's go for Jurassic Park, Kevin. No matter what, Jurassic Park is still a hit, no matter what. And even though I loathe it with an undying passion, Titanic. Now, before you yell at me, people, I have never seen the whole movie in full. And I'll tell you why. Working in Blockbuster Video, back in those days, when Titanic came out, it was a two VHS set movie. What is a VHS, people? Look it up. It's next to a DVD. Oh, wait. You don't know what the DVD is. Okay, never mind. But yes, Titanic, that god-awful theme song, yeah, could not do. I got sick of it. And finally, Romeo and Juliet, the like Leonardo DiCaprio version of the movie. The book was better. I digress. And then, of course, we finally have Scream. You know, Scream started in the 90s, and it's still going strong to this day because they kept everything fresh. I mean, whether you like it or not, Scream was one of the quintessential horror movies. So what do you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Scream was really interesting because, it hyped up the fact that Drew Barrymore was it, but she was the first victim.
Even better.
Kind of created a whole new subgenre. It was really interesting. Yeah, I've never seen Titanic, and I don't think I will. But yeah, those were pretty iconic and solid movies from that decade. I agree.
Sweet. So not bad at all, people. Not bad at all. So let's jump on over to rants, Kevin. I think we have some rants built in. Do you have any stashed away in there?
I do. A rant that I like to bring up is that people have, when people misinterpret the point or themes of art, it's a very general term. For example, like when you mentioned Romeo and Juliet, people think it's a love story. It is not. The play of it all, it's a farce. It is talking about how stupid teenagers are, and that even in the beginning, Romeo is pining for some other girl, and how stupid it is to have this great, like almost like comedy where like you're gonna kill yourself. I was gonna kill myself. Let's just do it. People completely miss that point. Another classic example is how people completely miss the point of The Great Gatsby. People have like Gatsby parties, and like have any of you read the book? It's about empty high society is, and how just people are so vapid. Even a friend of mine pointed out how Daisy, a character in the book, is actually a sympathetic character because she's a woman doing her best with what she could at the time. And so I'm like, oh, well, that changed my mind. But when people just glamorize the style of the 20s, I'm like, it's like you just have no idea anything about the book or to think about songs. When I think about a song I don't like, but I find it interesting, was Semi-Charmed Kind of Life. It's about being an addict, but because it's got a fun beat, people are like, yay, it's fun. Or that song, Hey Ya. It's about be stuck in a loveless relationship, but oh yeah, I'm gonna dance to it, hooray! Like, people don't like to think.
Yes, if you listen to the lyrics of Hey Ya, yeah, you are correct to talk about like splitting up the kids, how bad divorce is. It's really, really bad.
Mm-hmm. It's a very dark song, which I kind of respect Andre 3000 for being able to do that.
Yep. But please continue. If not, I have some rants ready here.
Or like anti-war movies, people completely miss the point of it all. There's a new movie out that I want to see called Civil War, which is anti-war, which just posits the possible reality of, you know, a second Civil War breaking out in America. And I'm just afraid people are like, yeah, awesome, let's do that. And, you know, be hyped into a G.I. Joe-esque fantasy of warfare. It really worries me.
Yeah, I think I'll move to Antarctica. I'm not going to even bother. Not going to bother, folks. But, but talk about misunderstood love stories, for example. I'll just say one. I'll hit my rants here. I chuckle to myself, or I just kind of shake my head when people look at the Joker and Harley Quinn and go, that's so romantic. I want that. I want to be just like that. And I feel like shaking them and going, no, you idiot. He abused her mentally, physically. It's not a love story. It's one-sided. He will throw her under the bus so quickly to get away. It's ridiculous. And he will torture her because that's how much of a narcissist he is. It's not a love story. You don't want that for yourself, you moron. But I'll take a breath. By all means, Kevin, go ahead.
I was literally talking about this on Sunday and how we posited that it almost excuses abusive relationships. And I also pointed out there was an event in the Batman universe called Death of the Family, where Batman comes to this weird realization that in a weird, weird way, the Joker's in love with him. It was interesting.
Well, I mean, he always wanted to make Batman laugh, so there you go. But now, I just find it comical when I go into shops and I see the Joker and Harley Quinn love shirts and apparel, and you see these cheesy memes on people's social media's page on, I want that kind of love. And I'm like, that's why you're single. Gotcha. Understand. Anyhow, so.
Just have them read any of the comic books.
And they don't read.
But then again, you want. wait. I'm asking people to read. That's silly of me. Sorry.
Yeah, no, don't expect them to read. My rant is a little bit about music. Today's music. I'll make it quick, people. I know you guys have things to do. I stumbled upon a couple of little bits and bobs on YouTube. Occasionally you fall down YouTube rabbit hole, you type in a subject, and they say, hey, if you like this, you'll like this. And one thing I looked on talked about the decline of female rap music. The decline. And it talked about how everything started and what it went from. It went from Anita Baker. She wasn't a rapper, R&B singer, folks, bear with me. And it went to Queen Latifah or Moni Love. Then it goes to, you know, to Kaya and Cardi B. Then it goes over to Sexy Red. Then it goes over to, I'm forgetting the names because they're so unimportant to me. And they have this trap rap or something like that, where it's this angry guttural rap, and it's all about, you know, killing and spreading butt cheeks and stuff like that. And it's just bad all around. It's really bad all around. And one of the main questions is, who's your target audience? So you look at, and I'm going to say the name again, you look at Sexy Red, for example. Look her up, Kevin. It's very, fairly interesting. She's a rapper, quotes, and, you know, her songs are rather provocative because that's her type of music she likes to rap about. And she got invited to a high school to speak at a high school about who knows what. Fast forward, she went to the high school. She walked in the auditorium, flicking off the crowd, throwing up gang signs and twerking. The principal asked her to leave because she smelled like pot. She smelled like the weed. And of course, the kids got upset. And so she went back to her vehicle, I guess, and the kids came outside and danced and twerked along with her. So my question was, once again, who is this music for? Is it for the adults? Not really. I think it's more for the kids. The kids know more songs about Pound Town than anything else. And I just found that rather depressing to see more kids twerking and learning songs about Pound Town than learning Common Algebra. That's pretty much the end of my rant.
Same thing happened to us.
Excuse me?
Same thing happened to us. Yep. Same exact thing happened to us. Same things happened with that nasty jazz music too. What's a fun experiment is to go down another rabbit hole and look at like incredibly explicit jazz music. It's shocking to think, you know, back in the 30s and 40s, like, jeez, you guys are just as explicit as today.
Oh, well, I mean,
Each
generation has one. Each generation has one. We had our Marilyn Manson. They have their Sexy Red. Before that, we had Kaya, you know, My Neck, My Back. Before that, you had Elvis Gyrations. Before that, you had Gangster Rap. Mm-hmm. You know, each generation has their own nasty little thing that will have its 15 minutes of fame. And it's just interesting, the decline of music.
I don't think it's a decline, because that's what they said about every music that's rebellious. Music and art is a provocation. It is supposed to elicit feelings. And if, whether the feelings are positive or negative, that's what art does. That's, I dare say, the purpose of art is to explore human emotion experience. And rebellious music fails when it doesn't piss people off, especially older people. And so, you know, if you get pissed off, the art's working.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I don't get pissed off. I just shake my head. I just shake my head and go, okay, not my thing. I'm the old guy screaming at clouds. And I understand that. And I truly embrace that. So it is what it is. And any shout outs for Kevin as we close out this next chapter of the show?
Yeah. Shout outs go to people who go out of their way to take care of their animals. A weird thing about living in other places, some people treat their animals better than others. I've unfortunately witnessed people abandoning animals, and that was really got to me. You know, and just somebody was like, meh, we don't need this dog or cat anymore. But the people that really do take care of their animals and like try to help animals, you know, like in shelters or whatever, you know, that takes a big heart. And I just want to recognize that people are out there trying to better, you know, the environment and the pets that way.
Oh, very nice. And I give a shout out to people who take care of each other. People who take care of strangers. Let me put it like that. I encountered, I saw an old lady having a hard time just getting up off a bench. And a kid, young kid, walked by and helped her up. She said thanks. And it kept on moving. Just little simple gestures like that I like. I miss stuff like that. Yeah, because sometimes this culture can be kind of selfish sometimes, which is neither fish nor fowl. But I do appreciate people who do little bitty things for other people, whether it be hold their door, you know, a door for them, or whether it be just say good morning to them. Just the little things, you know, that still gives me a little bit of good faith here and there on people. Even though I don't like them, you know, I still have faith. So that's my shout out to them. And of course, shout out to Cereal and Beer. Because no matter what, you guys still talk shit about Panda Express, and I love that. Thank you for that courtesy laugh, Kevin. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. So as this show comes to a close, if people want to get in.
I tried not to think about them. You reminded me.
As the show comes to a close, people want to get in contact with you, Kevin. Where can they find you?
Well, Cereal and Beer is on all the platforms that The Walker Experience is on. The best bet is try to contact us through our Facebooks. I keep saying this, but we still got to get a new email because serialbeer@hotmail.com may not be functional. I don't know. I don't think we're on Instagram or X or Blue Sky or Mammoth or like or Substack. Sorry, that's just too much work. We're just going to keep it limited.
Well, and that works. So I'm going to jump the gun because I know it's still early in the month of April. When is the next episode is coming out? When is it being released or dropped, as the kids would say?
Hopefully we'll record next week. Let's find out, right, Jeff?
So, yes, I'm definitely anticipating that. And, of course, you can find me, you can find us, you can find all of us under walkeracexperience.com/mobile. And, of course, you can find us on any of the apps that you listen to your favorite podcast, whether it be Spotify, Pandora, Google Podcasting, iHeartRadio is a good one as well. And, of course, we'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to download, to listen, to continue to support the experience, the Out of Context, Cereal and Beer, all the other older podcasts that we've put out. And, of course, we thank all of you, because without you, there is no us. So for everybody, for myself, for Kevin, this has been the Walker AC Experience. I have been Adrian. He has been Kevin. You've been our friends, our family, our loved ones, people who love us, people who hate us, and will eventually try to cancel us, but you're still going to listen no matter what. Until then, folks, until next time.